And we welcome you into the October 21st episode of the Sacramento Kings podcast, presented by Hoopball and the Hoopball Podcast Network in partnership with Be Heard. We are thrilled that you are here. I am Damian Barling, along with the host and the star of the show, Jill Adge. We are here to discuss all things Sacramento Kings. And now that we've got the front office in order and now that Monty McNair has got his staff in place, it's time to start looking at the individuals actually out there on the basketball floor. What a nice little sense of normalcy. But Jill, it's not normal because it's October 21st and the draft hasn't happened yet. And I speculated today, like I feel like I host a radio show. Have I ever told you that?
No, when?
ESPN 1320 on the radio.com app or on 1320 AM for those who live in Northern California from 12 to 2 every single day, Monday through Friday. But I think, and it hasn't been announced yet, the definitive start of free agency. We know the draft is about a month away. We know that that's November 18th. Which means free agency should be shortly thereafter, maybe December 1st. I'm not sure, but it should be in that vicinity. And we're getting close to that kind of fun time of the basketball season. Like I should say the fun time of the basketball off season, where it feels like there's a ton of chaos and there are free agents to be signed and there are trades happening. There haven't been able to be any trades, Joe, because there's like a suspension. There's a moratorium on all league transactions. And I wonder, like, when that's lifted, like, are we off to the races?
All hell break loose.
Yeah. Like, no one's been able to do anything for, gosh, I don't know that it was March, but it was like either March or April. I don't know if they announced a suspension on transactions when they announced a suspension of the season. I felt like that came a couple of weeks later.
Yeah. Yes. And then they kind of opened it back up for, because they extended some of the rosters going into the bubble, That was only for those teams. So, you almost wonder if day one's going to be like the last hour of trade deadline where you're right. Just seeing a flurry of activity. But there's just so many unknowns between free agency. The draft process is completely different. Like, you got half a season to see some of these guys, which a lot of people only watch March Madness. They don't watch, you know, the long haul of the season for some of these guys. So you have people that have, I mean, unless you're watching YouTube videos or, you know, some of these draft workouts that are going up now, you really don't have much to fall on, let alone from, you know, some of the 18-year-old freshmen that.
Right. This is going to be.
And then you're not getting your workout, you know, the one-on-one workouts are like where the Kings, where they seem to have like everybody and their mom workout last year, where it was constant, you know, like 15 names coming almost, you know, every 2 days. Mm-hmm. We're not getting that. We're randomly hearing about Zoom calls, like, and a lot of it too was before McNair came aboard. And then you have a whole new scouting department now, like, and so it's almost impossible to even guess who these people even favor at this point, because we literally have nothing to go on besides last year's play and what we think with this current roster might need, but yet we still have no idea if it's going to be this current roster or if we're going to see an overhaul. So,
well, and that's the other really interesting thing about this. Free agency is always after the draft. Like, that's right. Not new, but what's new for this particular franchise is an entirely new front office that is, I'm confident in, evaluating everybody mode. But we know Buddy doesn't want to be here anymore, which is fine, whatever. Bogdan Bogdanović is a restricted free agent.
But wants to be on a winning team.
So there's that. And, oh, by the way, you know, the last administration, kind of to use like a line from the 50s, screwed the pooch on the Harry Giles contract. And, oh, Kent Bazemore played really well here. He's also a free agent. So you have all of this at play, and it all happens after the draft. So it's like, unless, you know, and again, that suspension period is going to be lifted at some point before the draft. It has to be. But how aware is like Monty McNair in that front office of like, okay, how much do we have to get done before draft day actually gets here? Because we don't know what we're letting Bogey walk. We don't care. Is there like a death number that we're not going to match with Bogey? Are they getting feelers from Bogey's agent that say, hey, dude, don't match. Like, we're not doing this. Like, we'll go back and play somewhere else. Like, don't match the contract. And I'm not suggesting that there are right. by any stretch of the imagination. I'm just throwing hypotheticals out there. And then you've got the situation with Buddy Hield. All of that, you still have to find the best player in an abbreviated college basketball season or even an abbreviated overseas season and pick them for your team.
Right. In a draft that, if you want to say the draft experts or, you know, the people that do it for a living are saying it's not super strong, but also it might be stronger in, you know, the later part of the lottery is you don't have those. I mean, we're hearing the same kind of 3-4 names at the top, but there doesn't seem to be like that consensus. And all you're hearing right. about is those teams wanting to trade back for more picks or, you know, assets already, which I can understand with like the Warriors, you know, where they are, mm-hmm. And Minnesota wanting to maybe get established players around, you know, towns. But still, if you think there's that definitive talent there, would you be trading?
And what makes that whole, everything that you just outlined, what makes it stranger is that Minnesota said today, they don't have a definitive number one pick. So from a Minnesota standpoint, from a draft standpoint, you look at it like, oh, okay, that's interesting. But from a trade standpoint, it's also, I can't tell if you devalued the number one pick or if you created greater value for it. Because what I was arguing today is that you diminished the picks after. Like if you're the Golden State Warriors, like you just said a second ago, a lot of people are speculating that the Golden State Warriors try to trade out of that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, that makes sense for the Golden State Warriors, but does it make sense for the team that they're trading with? Because if you're just hypothetically for fun, because we're in Sacramento, if the Kings trade with the Golden State Warriors, I believe when you trade the two, you're trading because you want a specific player. Right. Exactly. If you don't know who's Minnesota's taking, you can't make a deal with Golden State before draft day.
Right.
And it just leaves a weird cloud just hangs over the NBA draft. Like, okay, well, like who is the number one pick? And I'm sure once we get closer, I'm sure once we get within a week, like if I remember right, I'm thinking of an NFL draft, the Carson Wentz, Jared Goff draft, everybody kind of traded up. And if I remember correctly, someone said, I think Goff was one, Carson Wentz was two. Philadelphia was like, well, we would have been happy with whoever we got. That is such a lie. You knew who was going first. Maybe you can't say that publicly, but you knew who was going first. You didn't go to second going, we're good with either one. You knew which one you wanted. And I have to believe that's going to be the case with anybody who tries to trade up in the draft. They're going to want a specific player because in this, as you said, it's not deep, or at least coming into it, it's not deep. And it could wind up being a fantastic class.
I mean, we'll see. That's going to depend on the teams and player development and everything else. But I mean, and at least for the Kings and their range, it's, you know, you're hearing about the same maybe 5 or 6 guys, depending on where the pieces fall, mm-hmm. you know, towards the end of that lottery. So again, I mean, how they rank those 5 or 6 guys, depending on how they fall. And, you know, do they only like maybe 1 or 2 of those guys? So they don't even feel comfortable there and maybe want to move up because there are teams. And, you know, I think 5 through 10 who have mentioned, you know, wanting to get out, and the Kings do have a lot of draft picks that they can work with that I don't think they will be using all those draft picks, whether they use it to try and move up or they use it for our favorite cash consideration. you know, it's remains to be seen, but they definitely have pieces to work with. But again, you're not going to be moving up unless you have a solid target.
You know who's going to be, because I know we're talking about Buddy and the Kings and all that. You know who's a fascinating player, I think, who's going to be a fascinating player to watch over the course of the next, I guess, I don't know, month and a half? Bradley Beal. Does Washington move Bradley Beal and that enormous contract with John Wall probably coming back next year?
Was his a 2 or 3 deal with a large amount, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't a long term. It was
I think it was a shorter amount of money, wasn't it? I don't think so. I think it was a long term deal. I think it was a shorter extension because he still had
the years
on the contract.
Okay. That's
so they just added more on top of it, but it's a ton of money for a while. Like him and John Wall, of course, a hint of sarcasm here.
Who knows what you're getting back?
I cannot envision John Wall being that guy again.
What he was, yeah.
So the extension. I'm so sorry. I don't know what year it is. What year are we in? 2020. So 2021. I don't even think the extension has kicked in yet. The extension kicks in next year. And you're right. It was a shorter year. He's an unrestricted free agent in 2023.
Okay. Because I want to see it was like a 280 or something like that. It was like 40. It was some crazy amount of numbers between the 2 years.
Yeah. It's 2 years for 71.
Okay.
But he probably got a little added on. No, that's what it is. It's 2 for 71. Yeah. That's three more years of that with Washington. Plus you got John Wall with a shred of an Achilles and I think a torn ACL and God knows what else happened to him.
But plenty of teams would take that Beal money, like the king. I mean, you're paying
Beal
3 years with that same amount of money. I would gladly take 3 years for that. Like that.
I'd
has to be a lot of suitors calling at least about it.
Oh, 100%. I would take Bradley for Buddy straight up. Like no questions asked.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's not even a conversation, but no, you're right. Bradley Beal's contract looks bad on the Washington Wizards. Because the Wizards are awful and I don't see them getting better.
But it's a very movable piece, money-wise.
100 And that's what I start to look at is like, Bradley, like, what was Sham's thing? Oh, Milwaukee, suitors for Bogey. Like, Bogey, like, what if, do they have money to match a Bradley Beal deal? And now you put Bradley Beal there in Milwaukee. And, you know, you could start placing Bradley Beal in different places, particularly there in the Eastern Conference and go, that's a good fit there. It's a good fit there. Would Bradley Beal fit in Oklahoma City? Like, would Bradley Beal fit on one of those teams that's just right on the cusp? Like, he fits in a number of different places. And I know that's a total spinoff from,
you know what
from,
would be
from the Kings. But
how much does Oladipo have left on his? One that said he was unhappy. And Pacers would be an interesting, being with their other young talent they have around.
Yeah, and I can't figure out what the direction of the Pacers are. Like, they brought in Nate Bjorgenen, I think is how you say it, and it's like, all right, is it Nick Nurse coach?
One of the few that actually took a young head coach, which is nice. Nothing against the repeats out there, but there are a lot of young coaches out there that are on the cusp and ready for that first job.
Oladipo is 21 mil for next season only.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then he's an unrestricted free agent. So the salary matches for 1 year,
right?
But it doesn't match for the 70 mil that, and the point in that was, I don't know. Like is Indiana looking at like, are they starting over? I mean, I'm not sure exactly what they're doing, but they're Victor Oladipo's. I mean, and of course,
he can say he wants out.
Yeah.
But unless they're getting, I don't see them taking less just to, like we said, to move them. Cause I don't think they're in a rebuild type situation. They're kind of in that, they're
they
still
don't need
that
to
middle
be.
Team, but they have good young talent where if they can get another piece, they're to me right there with anybody else. You saw what they did even when they were losing talent last year.
Yeah.
They were still able to stay afloat.
Yeah.
But again, it's that was under McMillan. I mean, who knows with the new stuff coming in, but I would assume a next Raptors coach would be just as
Yeah.
Defensively and, you know, every other aspect.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously Victor Oladipo, Miles Turner, those are guys who have been, you know, Kings fans have had fun with, you know, putting together trade machine deals and who says no for, you know, those guys to come here and all of that. But Victor Oladipo is one of those guys. And remember, when a player asks for a trade like Victor Oladipo with a year left, it's done so he can get to a potential new destination and sign a better, you know, to sign the extension. Like it's always what we know.
Teams.
What's that?
Here's my list of teams.
Yeah, right. Yeah, because what it boils down to is I'm not signing an extension with you next year. And if you trade me anywhere, if you trade me to Sacramento, I'm not signing an extension there. So here's where I want to go. Here's where I'm most likely to sign an extension at. And then you kind of work from right there. It's all a money game.
And you're usually not going to get a taker unless somebody feels they're, if they're okay with losing him after a year, if they feel that they're one piece away and that would be your piece to make some sort of run. And if it doesn't work, then, you know, okay, you lost him for the year, but you made a run at it.
Do you think Buddy is on the roster next season?
I do, personally.
You do? Okay.
I don't see, if I'll put it this way, if Vladdy was still here, no.
Okay.
I think there was too much between the negotiations and then what happened during the season. But with new management, I'm not convinced that they don't say that's nice, but I value what your pieces that you have. And I think you're that elite talent. And I think that you know, with Gentry and how McNair works with the coaching staff, I think that I can make this work with you. Mm-hmm. Then I'm going to do it. I mean, unless it's a, you can't say no deal. I mean, obviously that's always out there. But I don't see it for anything less than that, just because he's unhappy. He hasn't even played in the first year of his extension.
Was so wild. When you look at contracts, particularly on like SpotTrack, when you look at contracts and you're trying to figure out, you know, it's in the NBA, it's just dollars. Like it's just straight dollars. You don't really have to, there's no cap hit. There's no dead cap. There's not all of this other stuff and guarantees. Buddy's is the first contract that I've ever pulled up where it says estimate. Like, it's like, we're not quite sure what Buddy's going to make. Here's his base salary where it goes from 24 million down to 18 million in the final year of his contract before he's a restricted free agent. And then he has these, you know, incentives and all of those sorts of different things. And we know all about the likely and unlikely incentives and all of that different stuff that came about of that contract. But at 4 years, 94 million, I still think he got a pretty good deal for who and what he is.
Right. And just like how, you know, you see it out there, oh, I don't think that Bogey and Buddy can coexist or whatever. It's the same way I have a hard time believing the Kings won't match anything, because you're not going to just give up a talent because your salary cap's going to be high for a bad team. Like these are legit assets. And when you have a guy who's taken over that all he talks about is having the assets so that when that perfect player becomes available, whether I can utilize these assets to win or when someone becomes available and I now have a Bogey, a Buddy and these pieces and, you know, first to trade to get somebody, that's what you're going to do. I mean, that's how they built Houston, was keeping the quality assets they had. Yes, they made it work on the court, but they also used every asset they had to get assets back.
So every point that you made is valid. My only concern was it was almost a throwaway line at the beginning of what you just said. The expense of this backcourt on a losing team would really be extraordinary, especially if one is a starter and one is a bench guy. I mean, we're talking 24.
But I'm not convinced they wouldn't necessarily be playing together for a lot of pieces. If you're going to look at how they played in Houston and you're going to surround Fox with shooters, if he views that as the best analytical way to do it, I won't be surprised if you don't see more of those players on the court together.
Okay. And I'm fine with that. And again, we've got to point this.
You saw it with Dave towards the end. You know what I mean? When they were playing fast and going, and you can play small that way.
And it's a new regime that has new ideas. And while it's not a new coaching staff, it is a front office that the kind of little that we've learned about them is that they're very active with the coaching staffs that are on that are on their team.
And not even just the head coach, but the assist, everybody around them. You're coming from Houston, who was one of the few places where they handpicked the coaching staff. It was not, Mike picking his staff, according to Houston media.
How about Daryl Morey stepping down this week? Talk about stories that you didn't really see coming.
During the coaching search, right? Yeah.
Yeah, that which brought up like so many more questions. It was like, and I guess he's still there. Like he's going to see it through. Like I guess that was the gist, but
yeah,
it sure. Because I thought when that there was a tweet that went out. I think it was from Woj. I can't remember who it was from, but it went out kind of later in the evening and said, "Hey, Jeff Van Gundy just wrapped up his interview. He'll meet with them again tomorrow about the organization's open position." And I thought, oh, that's their guy. Like it's the Doc Rivers thing. Like we got the same tweet about Doc Rivers when he got to Philadelphia. Oh, he'll meet more with them tomorrow. My thought was he's going to meet with them tomorrow. The announcement will come. Jeff Van Gundy is going to be the Houston Rockets coach. And that was the same day that the Daryl Morey thing came out. And it was like, okay, Morey didn't want Van Gundy as the head coach. And now here we are. Obviously this is our first time talking about it. So it's a little less than a week later. It's a handful of days later and they still don't have a coach. Like Stan Van got a job before Jeff did.
Right. And I thought it was interesting who they decided to promote to GM. I figured it would be Eli Wotus, but it was, I can't remember the guy's name off the top of my head.
Was it Raphael something?
But he had helped another business side like there for a long time, but it just moved over to the basketball side, like within the last year, 2 years. So he made a really good impression, mm-hmm. With ownership, but I did think that was an interesting piece in that they were promoting, yes, the guy had been there, but not on the basketball side.
So now Houston is still open with Stan Van Gundy taking the job in New Orleans. And that was a hot debate
too.
It kind of did. I'm willing to look past Detroit. Like I'm willing to look past his 4 years at Detroit because I don't like, it didn't work for Tibbs. It didn't work for it. I mean, they took Doc's responsibilities later, the dual role of GM/ or whatever title you want to give him / coach. It doesn't work anymore. That's why it doesn't exist. I think Tibbs was the last one. And that's what Stan Van was in Detroit. And it wasn't working. You look at Stan Van Gundy's 5 years in Orlando, dude, they were good.
He's a good X's and O's guy. And if that's all you're going to have him for, then I get it.
I'm not mad at this hire. Like there are people who I'm curious who fills the Houston job and the Oklahoma City job, but I'm not terribly down on Stan Van. It's his third job. He didn't exactly lose his job in Miami. I think he was kind of nudged aside for that championship year. And then he got the gig in Orlando. Famously, I think he signed his contract about a mile from here at the Kinko's in Natomas. And then
will forever be infamous. Like I will never see the guy and not think of Kinko's.
Yeah, for sure. Like 100%. I don't hold any grudges towards him. I get it. I was excited for Stan Van Gundy to be here, but
we all were. And then it was like, wait, what?
That might have actually been the beginning of the true end when Stan Van Gundy spurned us. It was like, oh, Oh, hell. Like everything.
Took the meeting and then ran right to Kinko's.
Like, I don't know how Kinko's was like, nah, fam, fax machine don't work. Like, it's broken. You got to go somewhere else. Coordinate with everyone across the city. Like, nah, it doesn't work. I think he flew like commercial home. Like, it took a United or American Airlines flight back, you know, over to Orlando or something. But, you know, all that aside, he did it. I thought he did a really, really good job there. They went to the finals that year against the Lakers. You know, they beat LeBron and the Cavs in the conference finals. Like I always respected him as a coach. I know Detroit didn't work out, but I don't mind that retread. But again, I'm curious who lands Houston in, Oklahoma City.
Yeah. And I am a little bit more, it's still kind of sad that you every year we hear these same names of these young assistants that we think are going to get their shot, and it never happens.
And you know what's funny? Some of them aren't young.
It reminds me of the years of how long, I mean, that look at Elston Turner for, mean, are all of these guys going to be that? I don't know.
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, Sam Cassell comes to mind. I heard like there was something floating that like Mike D'Antoni might join Steve Nash in Brooklyn. So yeah, there's like that's a good point, and that's interesting, which is why I said I'm curious to see who gets these last two available jobs, because if one is like Jeff Van Gundy, it's like, all right. Okay. Like, all right. And then we'll see who the other one is, because that would have, you know, Bjorkton would be, you know, he's the head coach of Indiana, but for Los Angeles, Philadelphia, they would all be previous head coaches like Ty Lue, Doc. I guess Steve Nash would be a new head coach. Billy Donovan took the Chicago job. So there would only be like maybe a couple, two, depending on what happens, guys getting their first opportunities as coaches.
It could be good for the Kings if truly this is a, you know, depending on what happens with this year, you know, with Walton and anything else, if they're going to write out that contract or.
They're not writing out that contract.
But that leaves a lot of names available for next year if that's the case. I still think it's crazy that. I get it. Every coach gets like 4 or 5 years, but it's still crazy to me because you have a handful of those coaches all getting those deals that ever actually make it to that fourth or fifth year, it seems like.
And I think Doc got five. Like, I think Doc got five. I think
those that were signed were 4 and 5.
Ty Lue, I think, was 4. What was the one today? Who? Stan Van Gundy was 4. And that was the whole thing with Ty Lue and the Lakers. Vogel signed for 3. And Ty Lue was like, no. Like, no. And I wonder, I don't think that he does, but I wonder if he regrets it. Like, I wonder if he regrets not taking the Lakers job. I personally don't think that he does. But, like, Vogel, you know, Vogel's the only one I know who signed a 3-year deal. Like, I can't remember seeing a head coach signing a 3-year deal. And so he took it and, you know, it worked, you know, they won a championship out of it. So,
and I think that's exactly why he took it. It's LeBron and then you're going to be getting AD like,
and I think there were probably like there were going to be some questions about Frank Vogel had he, you know, not taken this job. I don't know that he would have gotten another opportunity had he not kind of swooped in there after Ty Lue turned the 3 years down and gotten this job.
Yeah, you weren't really hearing his name.
Where was he? Wasn't he Orlando last? And it was bad. Like, it wasn't good.
I believe so. Yeah. And then, Clifford. I mean, then Clifford went there. And that dude, no matter where he goes, his team ends up in like a top 5-6. Defensively, like no matter the talent on his team, he did it in Charlotte, did it in the first 2 years at Orlando. But that's how good of a coach that guy is. And he doesn't get enough credit in that, you see these other guys that I don't even want to say they need the superstars, but it's like, Clifford took over the same roster and look what he was able to do with it. Whether that was guys buying in, it just meshed, you know, well, I don't know. But it is crazy when you can see certain coaches like that, no matter where they go, they get that same piece, no matter the talent, you know,
that's the
roster.
That's the epitome of what a great coach is.
Yeah.
Like that's someone who's coaching. Like there's coaching and there's managing.
Right. And he's not a flashy name. He's not a flashy name. You'd have to, a lot of people don't even realize that he's done that, you know, everywhere that he's gone.
Steve Cook. Oh, yeah. Which begs the question, how did Jordan let him go? Like, and I know they weren't great, but they've never been great. Like, at least you had something and you had a competent coach. Like, how did you let him go?
Yeah.
We don't talk enough about how bad Jordan is at his current position. Like, I know he's the greatest of all. I know, I get it, all of that stuff. He is really bad at his current job. Only slightly better than when he was like a general manager or whatever he was in Washington.
Yeah.
Marginally better.
His post career has not gone the way. Yeah. I mean, everything off the court still works for him brand wise, but.
The Larry Birds are really rare. The great player who goes to the front office of the coach. And I think he did both.
Jerry West. Yeah. And that's the thing is you see so many guys try and recreate those and it doesn't.
Magic has tried multiple times and it hasn't worked. Isaiah didn't work.
The Pets tried it in his advisor to get, I mean, everyone. And he tried to get Bird too. Like it's, you know,
You know what Jordan's really good at? He's really good at gambling. If you watched The Last Dance, you probably picked up on that. And you know where I'm going here? I'm going to my bookie. The World Series is going on. NFL is approaching its midseason point. So whatever you like to bet on, use my bookie. With my bookie, it's easy. You bet, you win, they pay. Use the promo code HOOPBALL. They'll match your deposit 100%. Again, use the promo code HOOPBALL. And for all of your extracurricular activities there, MyBookie is the place to go. And as I said, the terms are simple. You bet, you win, they pay. That was a good segue there from Jordan to the gambling read. I'm proud of myself. I'm going to put this on an air check and send it to Brewski. And so Brewski could be proud of us for what we're doing here on the HoopBALL podcast. Oh, while we're here, subscribe. I know you've already subscribed. You're here. But if you haven't rated the show yet, please do that. You could do it right now while we're talking. Just go to Apple Podcasts. Hit the fifth star because, I mean, come on, man. We're talking basketball. You love this. Hit the fifth star. If you've got a couple of seconds to write a review, that would be great. I think this show is, in judging by the way this show is downloading, it has just been so much fun with Jill here, and I'm so thankful that Jill's here. And I'm so thankful that all of you are here. And
thank you for listening.
Is there anything else? Like, I know we're kind of just treading water until that, you know, we're the trade machine is the stupidest thing ever created. The second stupidest thing ever created was the stupid Bill Simmons tweet that says, "Who says no?" If you tag your tweet with "Who says no?", I immediately hate you. But that's kind of where we are. It's like we're stuck because nothing can happen.
That's all King's Twitter was today was, I think it was a Mavs fan putting out a deal between Minnesota and us and "Who says no?".
It was awful.
And it started, I know.
Like you did. Bagley's a non-starter. Like there's no trading Marvin Bagley. Stop that. Like you want to trade Buddy? Fine. You don't want to re-sign Bogey? Fine. Whatever else you want to do with the roster? Fine. Bagley is a non-starter, as is De'Aaron. For now, I think. I'm confident De'Aaron's a non-starter. But Bagley, that's absurd.
I don't see how you do that.
You can't do either one of them. No, either one of them. Well, we appreciate you all listening. Follow Jill on Twitter at Jill Adge. Follow me if you'd like to at Damian Barling. The deadline to register to vote in the state of California has already passed. So if you're voting, you got to vote in person. But please make your plans to be out at the polls on November 3rd. Vote like your life depends on it. And we'll be back next week. And I don't know. This suspension is going to end sometime. And all of these scenarios that all these different fan bases and podcasts and blogs and King's Herald and Pistons Herald or whatever else they're called, all of these situations, they're going to start happening. They're just, they're not happening yet.
And I think in the next couple of weeks, we'll actually start getting some legit draft talk, as in they're trying to come up with these, you know, workouts with teams and players. And I think we'll, oh my gosh, Gracie.
That's it. Gracie. Great. When Gracie gets the toy, it's time to go. Like I'm trying to respect. I'm she's trying
hitting,
to respect
the door little rattle thing too, like letting me know that she wants.
Do you like, and you don't have to say it, this could be a tease. This could be a 7-day tease. Do you have like an idea right now? No trading, no nothing. Who you like, do you have like you had a front office list? Do you have a list of potential Kings draft picks?
Oh yeah.
Of course you do. All right, Gracie, yeah. We're done. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Again, she's at Jill Adge. I'm at Damian Barling. We appreciate you so much for being with us. We'll see you here next time on the Sacramento Kings podcast presented by HoopBall and the HoopBall Podcast Network.